A friend of mine used to describe how great her husband was at playing games with the kids, you know, games like chutes and ladders and things like that. Unfortunately, he would play to win. And then afterwards, he would jump up and down singing, "I am the champion of the world," right? All the while the kids were screaming and crying. I'm still helping Father Paul to recover from that. Actually, it is a true story, but it's not about Father Paul. You can imagine it, though, couldn't you? In our first reading today from the prophet Isaiah, God is speaking about his servant. If he gives his life as an offering for sin, the will of the Lord shall be accomplished through him, and my servant shall justify many. That husband struggled to give up a board game as an offering for his own children, let alone to give up his life, his will, or even his dinner for many. But Christ does all of that and more. The gospel quotes this passage from Isaiah, that Christ came to give his life as ransom for many. Now that phrase, "for many," is intended to hold a tension between, on the one hand, the fact that the mercy of Christ is held out to all, but on the other hand, not all accept that offer. The kingdom of heaven is open to all, and yet inexplicably, some choose not to enter. A powerful experience of the faith and the Holy Spirit is available to each and every one of us, and some choose not to experience it. Our second reading today from the letter to the Hebrews says that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. The Old Testament referred to the Jewish high priest literally as the great priest, who once a year passed through the temple veil to make intercession for the people. So Hebrews is calling Christ the great, great priest who has passed once for all time, not through the earthly temple veil, but through the heavens, through the heavenly veil. And there in the temple of heaven, he makes eternal intercession for us. It's interesting that the church gives us this reading about the great high priest on the same day as the gospel, where Jesus describes what it truly means to be great. He says, "Whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all." What makes our priest, that priest, great is not just the reality of his heavenly ascension, but that he's a servant and a slave of all. This really turned on its head what James and John were thinking and wanting. They wanted to be the most powerful advisors to the most powerful messianic king sitting at his right and his left. They certainly were not connecting priestly authority with being a servant or a slave to all. And Jesus says, if you want to be with me, you have to be willing to stick with me through thick and thin. You have to trust me completely, even to my suffering and dying. And implicitly, Jesus is asking them, if you want to sit at my right and my left in glory, you have to be willing to be crucified at my right and left in suffering. We know that James and John, of course, both failed at that mission. It was two thieves who were crucified at his right and left in suffering. James and John were not. What saved them was their ability to be humbled. When they finally faced their betrayal of the one who loved them to the end, And that realization of their sinfulness humbled them. Didn't make them despair. It humbled them. And the second thing that then saved them was the gift of the Holy Spirit, which Christ sent upon them, and which, after being humbled, they were finally able to receive. The Holy Spirit made them like Christ, able to pray for others, able to heal others, able to forgive others, able to love others, able to evangelize others, able to encourage and strengthen others. In what way, in what ways are you being Christ to others? The Holy Spirit was given to each and every one of us at our baptism, but have we humbled ourselves and asked to experience the Holy Spirit afresh today? Humility is that beautiful tension between realizing I'm an unworthy sinner and opening my heart to receive the mercy and love that makes me a beloved son and daughter in the Son of God. To realize our dignity, we have to humble ourselves. To experience the Holy Spirit, we have to let go of our pride. Joy and gratitude are two certain signs of the presence of the Holy Spirit. How can I make a return to the Lord for all the good he has done for me? My fervent prayer for each and every one of us is for the humility to experience a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then for all of us to become grateful and joyful stewards of the Spirit's mercy and love. Grateful and joyful stewards of the Spirit's mercy and love. How do you share the Spirit's mercy and love? So here's the homework for the week. Each day this week, be great by humbling yourself, by asking for a deeper experience of the Holy Spirit in your life. We all need that. So please make that a priority for yourself this week.